Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Cody, guess what?
What'd it do? Boom.
We got a new sponsor, Clover Live.
This time, yeah.
Clover Live. Clover Live helps you find people nearby who share your interests and want to chat now. You can live stream your special moments, live chat with your friends, make video calls, and watch the hottest streams. Whether you're into sports talk, music, or just meeting beautiful people, Clover has something for everyone. Drinking, dancing, gaming, chatting, just one tap to go live or watch others' lives. Whether you're out on errands or home alone, anytime, night or day, there's always someone to share your moment. Some of the app features are live chats with thousands of talented streamers locally and worldwide, and you can go live instantly and build a following and earn cash. You can chat with other users and meet new people, and private live video chat. It's a great way to make friends. Every night's a party. Find your tribe. Find people that share the same interests as you. Kill boredom with friends on the go wherever you are. It's way more fun than other streaming apps, so don't miss out. It's all happening over at Clover Live. Don't wait. Join Clover Live. Broadcast your life, gain new followers, get gifts, and be an icon. Download Clover on App Store or Google Play. So here's some testimonials. Streaming on Clover has been so much fun. I'm very thankful that I get to be part of the community. Time just flies by and it's nothing short of wonderful. Another says, I got sick of swiping random profiles on dating apps. I find Clover's live streaming where I can intently interact with real people, not bots. You know, there's a big thing about bots these days. Elon Musk is trying to buy Twitter, and they said there's only 5% bots, and they found out that Joe Biden, half his followers are fake. Somebody else said it's fun to go live and meet new friends. I've already hung out with a few Clover friends. Great app to play around on. Another one said Clover's more than a dating app. It's a singles app. Come join the party and make new friends while you find a date. Whether it's making new friends, dating, or finding love, Clover can be used by everyone.
I have met a few people. Actually, I met some fans of this show. So that was interesting. And just trying to spread the word about it.
Yeah. Is there a Get My Go forum where people can go and, like, listeners of Get My Go can chat and, like, share all their wonderful experiences with each other? Can you find
no
that?
Get My Go forum yet, but I would recommend it to Mike Durbin as he is single and he's ready to mingle. So check out the Clover dating app.
Well, check it out on the Google Play. Download Clover on App Store or Google Play.
Yeah, so, yo, you want some, you know, there's a lot of stuff there. People on there talking about sports, about wrestling, if you want a date, if you're into the singles thing, you know, go check it out. It's a new chat thing that Joe told us about, and he put it over, so we're giving it a try. join it. Let us know your experiences with it. I'm going to get on it this week just to kind of be a voyeur and lurk in and listen on what's going on. So get your dating on, get your sports friends on here, meet new people. A lot of people lonely during the pandemic, a lot of lonely wrestling fans, that's for damn sure. Go check it out at Clover. Boom. Welcome back for another episode of K100 Talks. Today's topic, Joe, let them know. Boom.
Today we're going to cover the lack of police response or speedy police response in the recent Texas school shooting and whatever else Disco wants to dig into there, because it was Disco's pick. So let's get to it.
Yeah. So I came upon a fascinating thread. So it's like, so immediately, like, we saw what happened, you know, when the school shooting happened, the media just went to work. You know how they just inflame, you know, this is always a touchy issue, mass shootings, because all the Democrats start yelling at the Republicans over the Second Amendment. And that's what happened. Okay. But like, didn't really tweet about it, you know, something, because I want to wait and get information, you know, find out what happened. And like, you know, so like the first thing that happened in this thing was like, and it's still, I'm kind of unclear. It's like the shooter crashed his truck. It's like, okay, he crashed his truck. Well, how did like that fact just went completely glossed over? Like the shooter shot his grandma, drove down the street and like crashed his truck in a ditch near the school. Supposedly he was, and the story was changing stuff. Like supposedly he was met by gunfire from cops. Then they stood down. I guess he went inside. Well, they ran to the school, climbed over a fence, and got in, right?
Yeah, because real quick, he got in a door that was left open by a teacher who wanted to go out and retrieve her phone. Okay. So they should have been secure doors, but this teacher left the door open.
Right. So it's not like, you know, like there's protocols here that you know, weren't followed, for first of all. Because, like, we try to protect schools. And, like, some of the rules, like, keep doors closed, locked, and everything and all that. So, but this to me is the fascinating thing that I found, right? So I follow this guy, Mike Baker. He's at By Mike Baker on Twitter. And he writes for the New York Times, okay? And he, like literally, all right, like a few weeks, like a couple months before, they had performed an active shooter drill at this school, okay? So let me read you this thread. This guy did some deep dive at this. It's like, in the past 2 years, the Uvalde School District has hosted at least two active shooter training days. One of them was just 2 months ago. The trainings included both classroom teachings and role-playing scenarios inside the school hallways. The second tweet, the Uvalde training session 2 months ago relied on guidelines that give explicit expectations for officers responding to an active shooter. The training is clear. Time is of the essence. The first priority is to move in and confront the attacker. Okay? Next tweet. But how should officers confront the gunman? With a tactical team? The training says it's probably not feasible because the urgency is so high. A single officer, the training says, may need to confront the suspect on their own. The guidelines provide sobering clarity. The first officers, this is on the training thing, like they have it listed, right? The first officers may be risking their lives, but it says innocent lives take priority. A first responder unwilling to place the lives of the innocent above their own safety should consider another career field.
Right.
That's in the guidelines for the training,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
The training expectations are obviously in stark contrast to what we are seeing in Uvalde. Police officials have said the officers were reluctant to engage the gunman. And this was an actual quote. One of the police, he said, because they could have been shot. Okay. The guidelines actually provide scenarios in which officers are shot, including one modeled after the Santa Fe High School shooting, also in Texas. And the scenario explains that if one officer is shot, the second is expected to go on responding solo. It's clear that the officers did not follow that scenario this week. And 19 officers staged outside the classroom, 78 minutes elapsed before they entered. Children repeatedly called 911 from the inside, and it was the wrong decision, a top officer says.
Yeah.
All right. So I think we could all agree that this was like an epic failure of police response.
And can I just interject real quick? That's a total nightmare. But what's also wasn't reported there is that parents outside were willing to storm the school. Let us pass.
Yes.
And they got arrested and tased.
Yeah.
So the cops were busy fucking corralling the parents and not really focusing on the shooter situation, which is crazy.
Bro, it's like you literally.
Bro, remember, and then that's another thing, bro. Remember that shooting in Parkland, Florida?
Right.
Like in 2018?
Right. Parkland, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Remember the the one guy that was afraid to go in there.
The school security guard, I think he was. Yeah. They had footage of him hiding outside.
You know, so that's another thing, bro. Like, these guys were out there for like 80 minutes or something like that, you know, and they're afraid to go in there, you know. So I don't think that's a line of job for you.
No, it's
not. You know what I'm saying? And I know it's a scary job, you know, that takes a lot of balls to fucking go in there fucking Rambo style and just shoot it out with some crazy motherfucker who, as he's shooting people, he's playing quote-unquote sad music.
Right.
Know?
And this is what I want to talk about, because it brings up this whole – my whole – this is not my whole outlook on policing, right? But I think it's something that should be brought up or questioned or debated, okay, is that we place a lot of, like, responsibility on police officers to do their job in the face of death. And a lot of people say, well, that's what you sign up for. You know, that's what you sign up for. And a lot of people, like, they do sign up for policing. They know the risks. But when you're actually faced with the risk sometimes, like that period of time where – there's a gun being pointed at you. It's like, you know, your instincts take over. And if fear is your main instinct, you're going to get scared, right? And it's like, you know, when you're literally scared to die, is that the situation that presents itself when you literally can die? And I just think it's weird. Like, is there anything to the fact that we place a lot of responsibility on police officers' heads when this stuff happens? But should we? Because we're asking people to go out there and go to basically your job today. There's somebody killing people out there. You got to go stop him. And if they're saying, well, I can die, it's like, I don't care. Go do your job. Or do we sit there and say, like, you know, hey, I may not follow all the protocols and stuff in my interaction with this person I'm trying to do that's killing everybody that I have to go try and stop. It's like, if I screw up, am I going to get in trouble? And it's like, yeah, you will get in trouble because we have, like, you know, there's a lot of rules you have to follow and stuff like that. And it's like, you kind of wonder, it's like, when stuff like this happens, like, who would really sign up for this job? If you're going to be scrutinized like that and you're literally putting your life on the line and you're scared to die, you know, it's kind of weird, like, how we're going to find a lot of police officers in the upcoming years where, you know, we're basically the next generation of people that to pull, you know, your police officers from.
Bro, the next generation, the next generation law enforcement is going to be probably robots. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe.
Where
right.
There is no emotional component.
Right.
You know, it's just, fuck it. Let's go.
Because how hard is it finding emotionally strong people? Right now, mental health is you know, blowing up in this country. It's easier to find weaker mentally people. You know what I'm saying?
But it's just a shame, bro. It's just a shame that when I hear that they were out there 80 minutes and, like, Joe was saying, the parents were willing to go in there unarmed for their children, bro, and these motherfuckers with guns weren't, and just a total collapse of everything, bro.
I read that one woman that she had been arrested, and they were like, "Are you gonna if you calm down, we'll take off the restraints." They took off her restraints. She ran into the school anyway and was able to save her child from another classroom.
Yeah.
So,
it's unbelievable.
It's
like,
unbelievable.
Like, the story was so horrific that literally all the cops.
Just imagine, Disco, like, if you had a, you know, like a nephew or something that was in that situation, you're out there and they won't let you in and the cops won't go in. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it just shows you how people value.
But it was one guy. They knew it was only one guy. Well, what the fuck? What are you afraid of?
This sounds like they're going to get sued beyond belief.
Here's another thing that was kind of weird to me when I was reading it. Why did they send, like, I guess it was some sort of element or component of the Border Patrol? Those were the guys.
They're right near the border. Maybe they need backup. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. This just sounds like an epic failure. From the top down, the police just screwed up, and, like, these families are going to, like, they're all going to get sued and taken to court, and this could be massive lawsuits in this, you know? So, I don't know.
I was reading, D.I., that they may be handcuffed as far as citing these guys or firing them and stuff due to police laws and the unions, but there can be a shitload of civil lawsuits, which there was.
Right.
Actually, there was an – we talked about Florida, and but that actually happened in Columbine, too, 20-plus years ago. They kind of refrained from, you know, stomping into the school right away. And what happened? Mm-hmm. A teacher bled to death. He was waiting for help there, bleeding. And since they waited, he passed away, and his wife got a lawsuit, or his kid, of like $3.5 million.
Yeah. Well, basically, like what they're saying is that the way the guidelines have been set up and the protocols to deal with the shooting is if you have somebody in there killing kids,
you go.
Your life is, you know, you have to put your life on the line to go in there and try to save them.
This is what
the kids, they're literally saying that the kids' lives are more valuable than the police lives. We need to save the kids.
Yeah.
Is basically what this thing is saying. Yeah.
This is what I was reading. Mm-hmm. So this kid, right? I'm reading here that they had all these security measures in time of the place of the shooting, including a 6-officer police department responsible for security at the district 8 schools. So they had 6 cops for 8 schools. All right. Mm-hmm. Also had a security staff that patrolled door entrances and parking lots at secondary campuses. The school used a social centennial, a software service that monitored the social media accounts of students and other Uvalde affiliated people to identify threats made against students or staff. They also had a Raptor visitor management system in schools to scan visitor IDs and check them against watch list, as well as the use of two-way radios, fence enclosures around campus, school threat assessment teams, and a policy of locking the doors of classrooms. And all it took was for this teacher to go get the phone and leave the door open, and he saw it and he went right in.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is.
Plus,
yeah.
if he crashed his truck and the police were already engaging him and he's running towards a school, why would you back off?
Bro, he was shooting outside for 5 minutes
before
he entered.
This sounds like the cops were scared of this guy from the get-go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's like this guy just like, yeah, like there's like maybe it's a town where there's not a lot of crime and stuff in there. I mean, who knows?
Bro, but they were a whole grip of them and they all have guns. Desert Storm that motherfucker. Yeah.
Right. And somehow the guy in charge at the scene was like the chief of school police. And he was the one having everyone stand down, but there was local police and stuff going. Why aren't we storming the school? What's going on?
Well, I'm not sure who the guy with all the bravado that I'm seeing on TV, but he buried the whole police department. He looks like he's the captain.
Right.
He's like, there were a lot of mistakes, and we're they're fessing up to it. You know what I'm saying?
Of course, there's 14 dead kids. There's all these dead kids. Mm. It's like, you know, it's like,
yeah, but he's not giving any excuses.
Right.
A lot of people to give some sort of excuse, but he wasn't. Right. He's saying we fucked up.
They did.
We really fucked up.
Yeah, they did.
Big time.
All right. Well, you know, a shame that happened again. I think that's another that leads to another conversation for another day about, you know, background checks and gun control laws and the Second Amendment and all that. And I'm sure we'll be talking about this in the future. But it does raise a lot of other conversations. Again, I want to thank all you guys that have made this show very popular very quickly. K100 Talks. We've said before, if you have any comments or questions or whatever, send them to the mailbag. Where's that at Joe?
K100questions@gmail.com.
Yeah, keep the letters short so we can read a grip of them. Boom.